Welcome. I'm an international adoptee and host of the Anna Jinja Show, who believes that we all experience adoption in our lives. We actively choose the people, values, and experiences that create who we are and who we are yet to be. And this is why I invite you to listen to the guests and creative content that guide us to knowing that we each have a home in this world, cradled in the belief that we belong, that we are worthy, and that we are loved. So stay tuned and you may discover your own adoption story. Now, my own adoption story includes a little sister, and that's why I'm so excited that my little sister, and I emphasize the words little and younger sister, because I'm the older, wiser one, is joining me. And a very talented musician, and we'll talk about family, creative endeavors, and what we think about the bonds that tie us together, the ones that we choose and the ones that we choose for ourselves. So, Simone, I gave a little intro about yourself being the little sister and me being the older, wiser, more sophisticated sister. But what do you think that people or our audience would like to know about you?
I think they should know that I am actually the wiser of the two sisters. Firstly. Secondly, I'm an assistant professor of education at Grandview University, also the director of our Center for Excellence in Teaching and Learning there. I'll be going into my eighth year of doing that. I have three really cute dogs. That's important to know. And I think that's all you really need.
And the other thing I'll just say about you, when you teach at Grandview, when I lived in Iowa, I would come and talk to your social issues class about my adoption experience and what it was like growing up in Iowa as well. And so just quickly, why did you invite me to come and talk to that particular class?
I think that you present a unique perspective as someone who grew up, you know, outwardly in appearance like an Asian American person in a white family in a very white city with very white schools. And I think that a lot of the schools in Iowa are predominantly white, whereas now it's like 30% of the students are students of color. And I thought you would be able to kind of present what it was like to be the minority, the marginalized in a majority white system, and that you can share that with them as future teachers.
Yeah, and I did an amazing job and also told your students little secrets about you, too. So I think I was quite entertaining as well.
It's true. And they also enjoyed meeting your dog.
Oh, yes. We did bring Floyd, who is the cutest dog, who puked in the middle of the class when I gave my presentation. So that's what Floyd thought about my presentation. Goodness gracious. Well, one of the things that I admire about my little sister is that she and my brother, too, are musically talented. I was not one in the family that had any music talent. And so I would just say, well, I'm adopted. So that's why I can't play the piano or sing. But it's one of the things that my sister has always pursued as her interest in music. And so I was super excited that our Millie Raccoon, who's this amazing musician that I saw here in Athens, Ohio at Uncorked, and was introduced by Ellie, who was also a guest on the show. And so I love all these connections where you think that they are not, that we may not be connected to each other, but then these things happen where I invited Millie to come and share her music and her talent and just her thoughts about the podcast. But the bio and the how I know Millie, she was trained by campfires and tavern jams all over the world. Millie Raccoon Coon's eccentric and poignant lyrics mixed with musical stylings that seem to have traveled out of the past, emulating classic country, early jazz, and other antiquated Americana. There's a connecting thread of spirituality, healing, and liberation weaving through her work, which I found true because I bought one of her CDs and I don't even want to get out of my car because I just love her music and her voice and just what she has to contribute to this world. So, Millie, this is what I know about you and just learning about your music, but what would you like our listeners to know about you?
Thanks, Anna. Well, I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is not all that far from Athens, Ohio. But when I was an adult, I moved after college to Seattle, and that's where I got started in folk music, and then spent a number of years in New Orleans So in Seattle, I played a lot of bluegrass and country. And in New Orleans, I really honed my jazz skills and classic swing and stuff like that. So I had this mixture of Americana music, and I brought that to Nashville, where I live now. And I have a band that plays all of my original music called The New Normal. And I make music videos for myself and for other musicians in my community. I do a lot of stop motion animation videos and other kind of videography work and visual arts for usually for musicians who need artwork.
Love that. You are just incredibly talented, and I'm so excited that you're here and that we're going to listen to one of your songs in a couple of minutes. But I'm going to start with the two of you. So again, both Millie and Simone, welcome. Thank you for being guests. But I'm going to bring us back to the introduction where I say I'm an international adoptee who believes that all people, all of us experience adoption in our lives. We actively choose people, values, and experiences. And so when you hear that and thinking about the show and Simone, the experiences that we've had growing up, and Millie, your own experience as a musician and artist, what is your response to that introduction?
Well, I definitely resonate with that. I feel like my musical community becomes my family. And honestly, I'm actually not very close to my actual biological family, kind of moved away for various reasons, and am very used to being on my own. But also when I find those connections and feelings of, like, this is my chosen family. I think it was Amanda Palmer who talked about your logical family and your biological family. Mm. And sometimes they're not the same, but pretty much everyone who I really feel like is my adopted family, I've met through music.
I love that. And how about for you, Simone?
Well, I mean, I think that my story with you as your younger sister speaks to the fact that family really isn't about a blood-based genetic relationship. It really is about the bond between you and others. And I think to kind of reduce the idea of family down to just biological bonds is really missing the point, and you know, missing a lot of those important relationships that we develop. And I think that Millie, you know, she made a lot of really good points there about, you know, some people are not close to their biological families, yet as human beings, we all desire, or most, you know, 99.5% or whatever the number may be, most of us desire, you know, unless you're a complete psychopath, attachment to other human beings. You know, we're an attachment-based species. And so I think it is really something that we need to start to acknowledge more, to lift up more, because I feel like we've become less and less family with one another, particularly, you know, with COVID, where a lot of people kind of figured out how to become even more isolated, and some people continue that isolation because it's easier.
Well, and Millie, I love that logical and biological family. I think that in many ways, those bonds that we create as women, too, and just who we support each other from a sisterhood point of view, thinking about my own sister and those women that are part of my life who support my own journey, I think those relationships can be so incredibly close and supportive of the experience that is who we are and who we are yet to be. And I was going to ask you, Millie, so both you and Simone lived in New Orleans at one time or the other. And so when you're moving to a new community, how did you find that you created these bonds with other musicians and create your own community?
That is like something I really love about at least the kind of music that I play, bluegrass and swing and stuff, is you can just jump in and start playing with someone who you've never met before and you've never heard their songs before, but if you learn to play in those styles, you can just pick things up. And in New Orleans, I used to street perform a lot. I was a busker, and there's this whole community of street performers who perform in the French Quarter mostly. And if you see a band that it looks like you might be able to play with them, you can just walk up to them and ask. And there's a lot of camaraderie around it and meeting people by just finding people on the street and playing with them, which I feel like is the opposite of the kind of internet community disconnecting imaginary world. It's like in real time, go and just meet strangers and start making art with them. And yeah. So that's how I met most of my friends in New Orleans.
I love that. How about for you, Simone, as you entered into new communities and workplaces and you've been in New Orleans, what was it like for you to create these bonds?
I think it's challenging. In New Orleans, so what I've heard at least is that there was kind of a pre-Katrina New Orleans, because I'm old and I'm sure I'm much older than you, Millie, and a post-Katrina New Orleans. And I haven't really dug into why, but a lot of people say that the post-Katrina New Orleans is a much more positive environment. And I've heard that from a number of people who live there. When I was there, it was really quite difficult to make friends with anyone. There were safety issues. It was the murder capital of the world that year. I only stayed for, I think, about 8 months. I was going to go to Tulane and ended up coming back to Iowa because it was so difficult to connect to other people down there. But in other situations, I guess, I mean, you really have to make an effort. You just have to open yourself up to the possibility of getting to know other people, make yourself vulnerable. I like the idea. I heard it in a sermon a few weeks ago about Jesus sending his disciples out and telling them not to bring anything with them, like bring the bare minimum, like basically your whatever they wore then, sandals and your cloth, you know, that you cover yourself in. And Jesus said, go out and, you know, minister to the people, but bring nothing with you. And kind of was getting at this idea of if you don't think you're really bringing much to the situation, you make yourself vulnerable and open to what others will give to you. And you're more likely to see them from like an assets-based perspective. And I thought that was a really interesting parable. I think that, you know, we have a tendency to go toward the negative and we have to fight against that tendency. And you really have to look for assets in other people and open up your mind to all kinds of people that you might be friends with and family with.
I love that. I love that fighting against that deficit mindset, because I think that when we come from that point of view, then we become less open to what the possibilities are. And I think about, you know, Simone, our relationship, you are named after Simone de Beauvoir. And she had a sister named Helene de Beauvoir. Oh. She was a painter. She grew up in the shadow of her extraordinary older sister. You probably understand that feeling, Simone.
Oh, sure.
but I think about, like, you know, some of the things that I've really struggled with as growing up is jealousy. And many times, and that comes from that fight against that deficit mindset where I don't have this or that, and I feel jealous of others that might have musical talent or tall or blonde or this or what, that kind of thing. And when I am jealous or when I come from that deficit mindset, I close myself off from experiences because I'm afraid. And so I think being brave and being able to like know that there is enough love, that there is enough of that I am enough. I don't have to compare myself to others and fight against that jealousy has been a lifelong battle for me.
Yeah. You don't seem like a jealous. I've never really gotten the sense that you're a jealous person, Anna.
Yeah, but when we were kids, remember when I used to beat you up because you'd get like a strawberry shortcake doll or that you were like in a concert and I wasn't, and I'd be like mean?
Trust me, I was jealous when you got like a Barbie, whatever. I think that's pretty normal or pretty common.
All right, Millie. So you're getting an inside scoop of our growing up experience where sometimes it was like fight to the end kind of thing.
But that sounds pretty normal for siblings. Yes.
Well, I want to, because I believe, again, that these creative interchanges can help us discover how we can be and become our best selves. I reserve time to connect to these artistic expressions of our shared experiences. And so I asked Millie if she would pick a song, and she's actually going to play a live song, too, in our show. But let's listen to This Ancient Love first and then come back and talk about it a little bit and how it's connected to our conversations. So without further ado, here is This Ancient Love by Millie Raccoon and the New Normal.
Recall this ancient love for you that I have always known. An eternity in a day or two, for we have ever been one. You are the smartest little creature that I
love, love, love this song. So, Millie, why did you pick this song for us?
I picked this song because it's about a really pure and lasting love, and it's not very specific to what kind of love relationship that is, whether it's like romantic or sisters or other kind of family, but it's just about you're going to always be there with me and we can be a team together and fight the darkness. Mm. And it that refrain in it, you want to be with me, really has to do with like the people who you know truly love you and choose you in this life. And that's such an amazing feeling because you don't always know if someone really wants to be with you. And so that's why I chose it. I thought it could match the theme of everlasting sisterhood.
Well, and my sister also plays the fiddle. And is a place
like
fiddles around, but But we all have this, I think there's this thing where we support each other in our creative endeavors. And the song for me, too, I just love it so much. And again, you can see why I don't want to get out of the car when I have Millie's CD in my vehicle. But I love that you know how to fight darkness with light. And I feel that way when my sister and I, when I talked about going to her social issues class, the way that you can fight the darkness with the light is that there is a genuine love and affection and history between my sister and I. And we've had some battles, but we always come back to each other to be able to figure out how do we live this life? What are our stories? What are our battles? To be able to figure out how do we bring light into this world. And so I have great admiration for my sister. She has taught in inner city schools in Chicago and just has this fierce, courageous spirit about her. And when people would make fun of me or try and break me down, she would be there fighting for me in a way that was sometimes embarrassing, but also I appreciate that. So this gives me an opportunity to say thank you to my little sister for always being there for me. And in the wedding toast, what I said is that you are the one who has always made me feel connected to the family, and that as I've never questioned my connection as a sister to you. And so that is something that's very special. So,
yeah, me neither. If anybody attacked that connection, and they tried, I mean, particularly when we were younger, there were other kids who really didn't understand the adoption situation or what an adopted, you know, sister relationship was like. And they would say, you're not really sisters. No, you're really not sisters. I would just become enraged.
And she would. It was like, okay, calm down, little one. So I want to ask both you and Millie, because both of you are musicians in your own right. So how do you feel that music can change the world? When I hear the lyrics that Millie, it just opens my heart. I just love that so much. So how do you think music can change the world? And let's start with Millie.
Well, I think that music is a very subliminal message device on one hand, but in a good way, more than someone just telling you, oh, you should be kind to other people, you should cooperate and be generous, all the things that are good behaviors toward changing the world and making it a more peaceful place. If you sing them and put it in this poetic way, then it gets into people's soul a lot more deeply than just telling them. And that's the whole thing about art in general. If I may make one reference to the song that we just listened to, because yes. I've been thinking about it. I think a lot about past lives and reincarnation, and maybe people aren't blood related in this life, but they maybe have been in past life, or they have some kind of continuous connection through eternity. And that's what the whole first line of that song is. I recall this ancient love for you that I have always known, an eternity in a day or two, for we have ever been one. So even if you just met someone that day, sometimes you feel this everlasting connection with them as though you've known them all your life or before that. And it's interesting because this version that we just listened to is an older version that I recorded in New Orleans a number of years ago. And I have a newer one that I just put out with the people I play with now. And it's so different in a lot of ways. I've really honed my recording craft and stuff, but it's kind of cool to hear this raw version of it. But I'm playing with my music playing partner at the time, Nathan Rivera. And I was just thinking about that song is a lot about our musical connection and our kind of chosen family connection. And we also have had a lot of like trouble in this life, like siblings would have or something, like trying to make, you know, the relationship go one way when it shouldn't and things like that. But I can tell that we're always supposed to have some kind of connection and make music together. And when you have an amazing community and connection with the people that you're playing music with, then you can bring that out to the people who are observing it and kind of resonate that whole connection into it. And that's part of how it would change the world, I think.
Oh, absolutely. That's so beautiful. Simone, what is your response to what Millie just had to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Profound ideas there, Millie. I completely agree with you. I think music often, well, it kind of depends on the genre, but a lot of music disarms people. They see it as an opportunity to feel joy. You know, they've actually researched, you know, what happens in the brain when you listen to music, and the, you know, there are endorphins released. So pleasurable feelings are accompanying your listening to music. And so I think that people are more receptive and open to the messages that are contained in music because they are disarmed and they are forced to open up and to be moved and to feel emotions. And it's in a like societally, you know, it's in a socially acceptable way to be emotional, you know, to enjoy a song, which some people struggle with expressing their emotions or coming to terms with their emotions. So I think music is absolutely powerful. And I wish that we would be able to spend more time listening to it.
Well, that's why we're doing this show, Simone Macaroni.
That's right.
So I'm going to ask each of you to just, what would you ask our listeners do, which I think I have an idea of your answers, to create a world where everyone can feel that they belong, that they matter, and that they're loved. I'm going to start with Simone, and then we'll end with Millie.
A lot of it is about vulnerability, so being willing to let your guard down and to let people into your world.
I think it's really important to recognize what your triggers are and what your kind of shadow dark sides are, because if you can see those and accept them in yourself, then you can kind of recognize where other people are coming from, even if you aren't able to get along with them or see eye to eye. You can see that we're all these whole people with really great points and really difficult points, and just have a lot of empathy for the whole person, like Simone was saying.
I love that. Well, I want to say I have an ancient love for both of you and want to be with both of you, connecting back to this ancient love lyrics. And again, a heartfelt thanks to my little sister, Dr. Simone Keyes Mills, and Millie Raccoon for this incredible conversation and creative exchange. Thank you to Adam Rich with WOUB for engineering and editing today's program. Our subject matter expert is Dr. Melissa Rizzo, and our storytelling consultant is Zoe Lambert. Our creative and editing team includes Maddie, Maya, Alexa, Lene, and Mark. And our music producer is Nick Kazernas, who's been writing genre-twisting songs for over 30 years, including this show's theme song, Way to Me. And I am your host, Anna Jinja, signing off with a reminder that the key to unlocking all things good in this world is love. Here you are loved and you are home. Always a friend and fan, this is Anna Jinja, wishing you days filled with love, laughter, and peace.